All right. Welcome. Two, no.
One. No. And here you go.
No.
All right, start, Joe.
Check.
Okay, thank you. Thank check. You for that. Check. Check. Is that right? Welcome back. Welcome back, everyone, to the most professional gaming podcast that you've listened to all week, Greenbox Gaming. We're playing Delta Green. My name is Joe. I'm going to be your handler for this operation. And I'm joined by my good friends. I'm joined by Dace playing Benji.
Wow. First. This is the first time I've been first in a long time. I feel honored. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm, of course, joined by Jean playing Benedict.
Hello. I don't believe in ranking systems.
That they exist or that they're relevant?
They don't exist.
Okay. We're gonna just roll with that. And then, of course, very purposefully last, Brad.
Did you pick Dace first because he looks like he's about to say he's got your family hostage without lighting?
Same lighting. Always have Brad. Did it take you 4 months to think of that joke?
It is a
this is a bit much. It's not normally like this.
It gets me into the zone, okay?
I like it.
It gets you in the zone to have a black room with a light shining directly on your face.
Yes.
I love it.
It definitely feels like a safe house. Like it feels like he's in a basement.
Clippings. The newspaper definitely clippings add to it.
It's definitely not because my computer is so old that I can't apply the blur filter on Discord. It's definitely not.
Do you want to blur out Joe's family in the background? Hostage?
They're tied to a radiator in the background.
They're in the basement.
Don't be ridiculous. Guys, I had a question for you. Kidnap families aside, I had a question for you. Similar to what I asked last week, where I asked you guys about kind of like nostalgic kind of retro video games, and it's weird that we're at a place in life where the video games from our childhood are now squarely retro. Like that's not even up to debate anymore. But I actually had a question about. Are any of you, like, what you play, but maybe not even necessarily recently, but what have you played in the last few years, or as an adult, that you have dumped more hours into than anything else? I know...
Delta Green.
I do not.
Easy.
One,
so
it's not a video game.
Next question.
We're technically on a video call. Checkmate.
I guess so. All right. You know, Sean, you win.
I don't believe in rankings, but I fucking win.
This is a lifestyle. Second. It's not a game, Sean.
I don't believe in rankings, but I win.
Well, Brad, what about you? What would you say is the one that you've dumped the most hours into?
I'm just going to talk about what I've been playing because that's what I want to talk about. And I have dumped a lot of hours into it. And, Crusade Kings 3.
Okay.
And it's the most complicated game I've ever played. I've watched like 10 hours of tutorials.
Right.
And I've played like 10 hours.
It has a bit of a, what do you call that? A learning curve that's pretty distinct.
But I think I finally have my own nation 400 years later.
Did you start on Noob Island, also known as the UK? Or
yes, is that the noob? That's the easiest spot to start.
Is that Noob Island?
That's what it's referred to as, is Noob Island.
Not because I thought I just I didn't know that. Funny.
Well,
good instincts.
Well, I've never played Crusader Kings. I have watched a lot of people play it, like just like having Let's Plays going on in the background. But yeah, it's a wild game, and especially with the expansions, like all of the crazy shit. Like we're gonna start a cult.
I haven't seen that one yet. Or is that a mod or an expansion?
I think it's an expansion. I think where you can like start your own, like you can get into some of the really weird stuff, like you can start your own dark religions and stuff like that.
Interesting.
Yeah,
it's awesome though. I like.
What about you, Dace? In recent memory,
Banjo Kazooie.
Banjo
Kazooie.
You're a speedrunner in Banjo-Kazooie, isn't that right?
I've got a whole YouTube channel. I'm ranked.
No, Sean doesn't believe in that.
But I'm ranked.
Can you tell me which one's Banjo and which one's Kazooie?
That's actually a good question. I think Banjo's the bear.
It's up to interpretation.
Is it?
That's what I love about this game, is the philosophical ramifications of self-identity, because they're kind of one entity, you know?
Yeah.
Which one is Banjo and which one is Kazooie?
I feel like you're bringing a lot of our high school English class into this, where it's like, there is no right answer to what the author meant. It's like, fuck what the author said it meant. Let's come up with our thing, and that's going to be the thing.
I think... You're talking high school. I think literally in college, I think I wrote almost every essay about the nature of subjectivity.
That's awesome.
I became a professional about vague bullshittery.
Well, at some point in time, you're just writing the same paper over and over and over, and you save yourself a lot of time.
No Banjo-Kazooie papers in college.
I'll email them to you.
You still have them?
Thousands of pages, because I'm such a Banjo-Kazooie fan.
Joe, what's your one?
Mine is RimWorld. It's,
did you see there's an expansion coming out?
I did.
With crazy... what's it called? Containment.
Yep, Cthulhuan awfulness with flesh beasts
is
and
going to be gone
and weird King in Yellow references to and they took a game where you were already I was telling Dace about it kind of recently and I was telling him about my colony of hyper psychically attuned meth vampires
the perfect weapon.
See, man, RimWorld is so fucking deceptive because you frame it that way, and then you sit down and play it, and it's like work. It's like work.
It's like reading a big book.
It is.
It's a long book that you got to read and fiddle with.
Yeah, it's... I'm not going to pull up my Steam and see. I've got well over... I think I've got... I'm approaching 2,000 hours on it, which is not a lot for some people.
Oh, okay. I would have... marked you at 10,000 at this point.
Yeah, but it's the meth vampires are they're a cool crew. It's recently created the palace. Their palace where the human blood bags can worship them, as is tradition.
I'm gonna out myself about what an idiot I am. But before John left for South Africa, he took the time to download Steam and RimWorld for me. I sat down to play it. 15 minutes into the tutorial, I rage quit because I couldn't find the fucking storage container.
Well, it's worth noting that the tutorial on RimWorld is not good.
No, that's not a you problem.
I doubled down. And I asked Joe to show me how to play RimWorld. Right. We spent a fucking hour trying to figure out how to share screens on Twitch. And...
Well, it was because we were. It's because you have a Mac and I have Windows machines, and we getting them to talk is weird. And we're like, okay, let's just do Zoom and just share screens. And you were like, nope, fuck it, I'm done.
All right, we're gonna keep going at this. This is gonna become the new
we're gonna chip away at
we are Jean intermission. Jean, what is yours? What is your
I gave my answer and I won. We can move on, Joe.
Wait,
I gave it.
What'd you say?
I won. It's okay.
I forgot what you said.
It isn't a game.
Oh, DG
Delta Green.
Oh,
yeah.
I know you play.
This is not fun.
I know you play.
I don't play games.
It's gotta be Skyrim, right? That was my real answer.
Yeah, I think it's
never
Skyrim.
Actually played Banjo-Kazooie, but Skyrim.
I also will double down on Skyrim.
I distinctly hope that someone listening in the interim when you said Banjo-Kazooie and now have gone and tried to find your YouTube channel and are just now going, oh, come on.
Oh, this guy.
It's just hours of days like just pressing jump. Just jumping in place.
That's my level of technological capability.
No, I mean, I think Skyrim is the classic, though, right? I mean, like, yeah. But at this point, is Skyrim becoming retro gaming yet?
Or
shit?
Yeah, it's like what, it's over 10 years old now.
And definitely.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's retro, but
a little more than 10 years.
That honestly is probably the game that I have the most hours in, as well as Skyrim.
And I haven't even played it modded. I've just been playing vanilla Skyrim for 12 years.
No, but it's good. It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Like there's something about Bethesda games and their open worldness. You know, obviously there's a lot of replayability there. I don't know. I don't know what it was about Skyrim when it came out. I'm sure like you could really get off in the weeds about what was new and interesting and from Oblivion or from Fallout New Vegas and stuff like
that. It was just the feeling.
It was just a feel.
Yeah.
They got the mouth feel of the game right.
Mouth feel. Okay.
Yep.
That's
I remember.
How often do you put it in your mouth? The Skyrim.
All the time.
That's what I mean.
No, if you're not putting Skyrim in your mouth while you're playing, you're doing it wrong.
Okay. Jean, 2024.
But no, it came out.
The games you can eat.
You stop that. Get that mouse out of your mouth.
He's putting his mouse in his mouth. Bad boy.
Poor listening audience. Drop it. Drop it.
Drop it. Nope. I'll rub your nose in it.
No, the year it came out, though, that's when we were living together, Joe.
Right.
And for a brief stint, Riley was also living with us, and I just remember like sitting and watching you play for hours, and like when you weren't playing, I would be playing, and you'd be watching me play.
I remember your character's name was Painless the Dead, and he was a dual wielding psychopath.
Yes. Yes.
Which I don't know if there's a better way to put it.
Someone gives him a quest and you're like, kill.
Well, it's just in the side of the screen, you know, first person view, just two axes hanging out on both sides of the screen. Every interaction. Well, like, and you want to know a weird thing about that, Dace? Is there are two things I associate very closely together, which is Skyrim and Adventure Time. Because they both came into our lives at very similar times when we were living together and we were consuming a lot of Adventure Time and a lot of Skyrim.
Really?
Like at once.
I felt like Adventure Time was after Skyrim a good bit.
Maybe it was. I don't know, but for whatever reason, I associate them together.
Yeah.
Well, that was because Riley.
Right.
She came to stay and she had a shit ton of Adventure Time on her computer.
Yeah.
So we just binged watched Adventure Time.
I don't want to derail this for too much longer, but I do need to share something. I started playing a game called High on Life. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's a Justin Roiland game. Rick and Morty creator made a game. Right. It's batshit crazy. I spent an hour and a half watching the movie, a real movie, called Tammy and the T-Rex inside the game. Go look this up. It is just as batshit crazy as it sounds. And Tammy and the T-Rex is about a man who gets mauled by a mountain lion and his brain gets transplanted into a robotic T-Rex. This is a real fucking movie.
In a game.
In a game.
It's got Denise Richards. It is a real movie that came out in the 90s. That's all I'm saying.
This is a real movie in the...
This is a real movie. They licensed it just so that you could go and melt your brain on this movie in the game.
Okay. I didn't realize it was a real movie.
It hits the exact feel, the mouth feel of High on Life. That kind of sums it up. Yeah.
Nice.
God.
Tammy and the T-Rex.
Pretty bizarre. Pretty surreal.
That is bizarre.
By the way, listeners, we're not actually playing Delta Green today. This is our catch-up podcast. We're just going to hang out. Sorry about that.
Yes, sir.
Well, speaking of consuming bizarre media, I guess.
No, let's just keep talking. No.
Nope. Let's talk about what happened.
Check.
Last night. Check. We're ready. let's talk about what happened last time. The crew. M-Cell. You guys are still M-Cell to some extent. I know that seems like a million years ago. M-Cell is trying its best to track down a new lead in Chicago, of all places. Going down this kind of... You guys had gotten word of this play... This showing, once as you escaped from the night world, once you escaped from the Dorchester, came back to Boston, and things have been a little weird, but you guys escaped back to Boston, and you've received some leads that have a lot to do, it seems, with especially some of maybe Benji's backstory, and specifically this name, who I thought I had it here, of this play that happened in Chicago by an art student whose name I am desperately trying to find. It is not David Langford. That is someone else. But you guys have headed out to Chicago to track down this lead. Now, before that happened, something that has been being dealt with for a while is Benji / Wenji in the Cloak of Truth, which is something that you guys had put on. I believe you were in the parking lot of a video store, which drove almost all of you insane. But since then, Benji has had some real issue trying to balance how much Benji and how much Wendy Wright is actually present.
Yeah.
That was a bit of It's been a bit of a struggle. But recently, as of last episode, Benji was able actually to muster up enough power to actually throw off the Cloak of Truth, and you guys destroyed it. You destroyed finally. An unnatural artifact.
I got a lot of hate mail for that arc. Somebody put a severed horse's head in my bed.
Yeah. Which is weird, because only the three of us know where you live. So,
and only one of us has horses.
So, well.
Davis.
I told you.
Wait, I didn't know this.
It was beheaded from natural causes.
Worth the sacrifice?
Natural causes.
Natural causes beheading.
His name was Victor Correll, I see, on the
Yes,
board.
Yes, you're right.
The horse.
Yes, Victor.
The horses.
His name was Robert Paulson.
We are on fire today.
You didn't tell me it was Victor. Did you have to kill Victor? The arc was already resolved, man.
You didn't have to do this. Yes, Victor Correll. Victor Correll and his girlfriend both died. And you guys revealed this evidence of this Delta Green cover-up, and you headed out to Chicago. You jumped in the jambulance, and you took off away from Boston. Now, there is something. I'm going to pull back the curtain here a little bit. I'm going to tell you about something I was going to do that I'm not going to do now. I was going to start replacing stats on Benji's sheet one by one with stats from Wendy Wright.
Uh-huh. Oh, man. That would have been so good.
And I wasn't going to tell you about it.
He would have never noticed either.
No, 100%.
Well, things like I think the things that you would have noticed is that your base stats would have changed, like your strength and your stuff like that. But
you overestimate how well I know my character.
But one of the things that was going to happen is your ability to do music was going to be removed from your sheet.
I would have
and replaced. With
and that would have
else.
Been such a cool moment when I realized that.
Yeah,
man. Well, props to you for the idea.
Yeah.
That would have been fucking...
Yeah. Well, because I legitimately...
Chef's kiss.
I legitimately didn't know how much of the Wendy Wright thing was going to stick. And then there would just been two Wendy Wrights wandering around the world, which have been super funny at some point.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, But the last thing that happened is you guys are heading out of Boston. You were just crossing, I think, the state line into Illinois. When you got pulled over,
I remember where we are.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
We're in a bad place.
Can I tell you?
Now I'm anxious.
So let me share a little detail. I think last Sunday, Brad was over at my house. It was at St. Patrick's Day. And we were just sitting in the backyard, and there was a lull in the conversation. And out of nowhere, Brad's like, "These fucking cops have got to die." And I was like, "What?
You mean a Delta Green or?"
With no pretext. I had no idea where he's coming from. I was just like, "What the fuck are you talking about, man? I don't realize you're so radical."
These cops.
I mean, there's defund the police, and there's these fucking cops that gotta die.
Right. Oh, God. That's.
And then I was like, oh.
Oh, okay, Delta Green. I love the idea of you guys are sitting in the backyard, like, and Brad's like, got a beer and like a cigarette and just like takes a drag and like exhales. These cops have got to die.
I had had
yes Joe, two, but literally that.
I had several green beers before then, so
it's a little extra spicy. Oh God, that's good.
Remind us about that, Joe.
Yeah.
I just forgot.
Yeah, so you guys were escaping. You thought it seemed that you had basically kind of escaped the pull, the influence of the law enforcement around Boston. I think I'd even told you too that like you guys had actually managed to kind of get past. You know, it got to the point where there were not mentions of you on the radio, you know, and stuff like that. It seemed like you had actually kind of maybe gotten a little bit past the long arm of the law as far as, you know, everything that happened in Boston and you being hunted by law enforcement. And then this happens. And one of the interesting things is like you guys are told to leave. And there were a few things that kind of tipped you off. You guys rolled well on your alertness rolls and things like that. Hank did especially well, him being law enforcement. There were some things. One, it was referenced that you guys had three people in the van before you told them that there were three people in the van. It seems they knew that there were three people in the van already. They pulled you over for a seemingly non-existent infraction. And then you noticed that these uniforms, they're fake. They're fake uniforms. The badges just say State Police. They're not actual badges. They don't actually have an emblem of the State Police at all. Like, you know,
they're strippers.
They're strippers. Wouldn't that be a cool twist? You have the right to remain sexy. But then, so you guys, in the very last, as we left off, you guys were being walked to the back of the van. I think Benji was still in the back of the van. And the other two of you are being walked out as the realization comes that these are not real cops. And so that begs the question. What the fuck are these guys going to do? I hope, beyond all hope, this might be one of the most standard, like, perfect Delta Greenish situations we've ever been in. Of here you guys are, you have these people on the side of the road. Mm-hmm. I believe it was said at the last episode, oh, we're about to put two bodies in the back of this van. And keep in mind, one of the rolls that I did a luck roll for you guys last episode to determine, are you guys in the middle of the sticks or not? You're not in the middle of nowhere. There is regular traffic going by. It's not exactly residential. There's not exactly a house right there. But you're not in the middle of nowhere. So, that all being said, what, my friends, do you do?
Well, okay.
They're in Brad's words, these fucking cops gotta die.
These fucking cops gotta die.
Basically, that's what Hank is gonna do. I'm guessing at this point, if I remember specifically, they wanted us there. Me and Benedict are outside the car. Correct. Around the back of the van. Mm-hmm. And they want us to open the back of the van where Benji is.
Yeah. And it's worth noting real quick with that, your weapons, your stuff is all stowed. The only thing that probably is a little weird is the jammer, which I think of like a military style, like a signal jammer. It's kind of large. Like, it's not the kind of, they maybe throw a towel over it or something, but like,
I was thinking it's just like a button on the dash.
Well, there's probably like literally, you know, we'll say it's probably like 2 to 3 feet tall, like, okay, you know, chunk of machinery. Right. Like, you know,
fair.
It's like the,
why
the
are we concerned about
stuff that I've seen.
Why are we concerned about the jammer if they're not real cops?
I'm just saying that, like, if someone opens the back door, they're not going to see guns. You guys have all that stuff stowed, covered, and stuff like that.
So. But, and I don't know, I'm guessing Hank is the only one that officially knows that they're not real cops, because I haven't communicated, I'm the only one that...
Good point.
Benedict...
I think Benedict knows.
Benedict rolled a human.
Okay. Yeah. Benedict knows.
And it was like, something's fishy, so he's also...
Yes, there. Benedict, but definitely... Maybe Benedict is... I think Hank was in the... No. I think you both know. You both know.
Yeah.
Benji, on the other hand...
Benji
is kind of flying by the seat of his pants.
I'm not just saying this. I really think Hank is just going to try to take a crack shot at one of them.
Really?
Like right now. Yeah, I mean, he's sort of paranoid, but I mean, he knows they're not real. Like, after everything we've seen, like, I think that's what is about to happen.
Okay.
That's what Hank's gonna do, unless Benedict wants to do something before that.
Benedict is probably hyper aware of what Hank is doing. Like, he was like, Hank, you take the lead, so he's gonna follow with whatever you're doing. I think the question is whether we're going to be able to get Benji ready in time.
Okay,
if we have...
question for Dace.
Yep.
What weaponry is on your character sheet?
That is a fantastic question, and thank you for asking, Joseph Hoytbox. can I stall any longer?
Doesn't have his
fucking
sheet
shit. Let me navigate away from Banjo-Kazooie because I
can't. Did you have the emulator up right now?
Okay, here we are.
He's got a pigeon in his backpack.
No, he does not.
I have
those things
in my equipment: Carcosian shotgun and heavy pistol.
Okay.
Would I have them on my person?
Okay, well, probably all not. Of the weapons are probably in the back seat where you are sitting.
Yeah.
I would say that if you have that shotgun, and these are the shotguns that you got in the bookstore 10 years ago.
10 years ago.
That's right. And in fact, these are the same shotguns that you may have actually seen yourselves hauling away when you were in the library.
Can I propose something? Can I propose that Benji rolls a human to see if he picks up on Hank and Benedict's vibes?
Through...
And can prep and start
through a van.
Shooting people. Well, are there windows? Is this just a vanless window?
I would imagine
I'm
going to
nerf myself and say it's probably an alertness rather than a human.
Okay, I'll give you an alertness. I think that the van probably doesn't have windows in the back. It's probably one of those windows that, like, when I think about this van that you guys, I've always assumed this thing has no windows in the back. It's not like a passenger van. It's more like a cargo van.
94 over 34.
Okay.
So Benji is busy doodling in the back, probably with the guitar.
Well, he definitely knows you guys are getting pulled over, and I feel like you guys would have been a little bit paranoid. I don't think it is out of question for Benji to have had the guns within, you know, within hand's distance, you know, whether tucked underneath.
Sitting laying down with a big ass machine gun aimed at the back.
That's what I was hoping. It's all crazy.
On the tripod.
Fucking loaded. Yeah.
Like, you guys get to
tail his alertness, so he's got it trained on a butterfly. And he's just.
No, I imagine what that would look like is like to open the back door and to see someone with a 50 cal and a tripod sitting on their ass with the tripod up, and you hear the gunk 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 as you pull
like
the charging handle back twice to load around.
It's like that scene from Game of Thrones when that dude opens the what do they call the big ass projectiles that shoot the dragons, and the guy
like
just
a ballista?
Opens the thing. Yeah, and he opens the thing, the ballista just like shoots him.
Yeah. All right, so
I love that you know that you have to load a 50 cal twice.
Yeah, you pull the targeting hunter twice in order to get around in the chamber.
Yeah, and I'm the one that put the horse in your bed.
Fair. All right, so.
But yeah, so that's what Hank's going to do.
The guy is walking ahead of you. You know, he's not, it seems, it's very much like he's leading you back there. So what weapon, Hank, you probably only have your sidearm.
Right. I said that specifically, that I have the heavy pistol sidearm. Mm-hmm. And I imagine we're both like sitting there pretty close. And I think the last thing he asked, is there anyone in the back, right? So I imagine we're in between the van. Me and Benedict are at the back of the van outside, right in front of the cop car, right?
Right. Yeah, I think that you guys are standing right at the back. So if you want to take a shot.
I've got my gun and a stun gun as well.
Yeah, so they're both leading you to the back. So, first thing's going to happen is I'm going to roll a dice. Don't you worry about this. Don't you worry about what this dice means. Don't worry about it. Don't think about it. Okay, I rolled an 18. So don't worry about that. It's not important. If there's anything I learned from playing Reverberations, it's the handler rolling random dice puts everyone at ease.
Nothing to see.
So, Hank, are you gonna pop this off?
Yep. So as soon as he's like, you know, basically wanting us to open the back, Hank's just gonna, like I said, go for a crack shot on one of them.
All right. I'm gonna.
We need a music change. I request a formal music change.
Also, what's the gender of these cops?
They're both men.
Oh, we got this.
I mean, your specialty is traditionally women.
Well,
but they're always a problem for us.
That's what we do. It's not what we're good at. It's like people who play golf, you know? There's a whole different. Okay. Go on. Pause for edit.
I get what you said. I get it.
All right.
We'll cut it out in post.
Okay, go ahead, Brad. Go ahead and roll me that firearms check. Take a plus 20.
Okay.
Because you definitely have the jump on this guy.
Uh, 55.
Is that a critical success?
Oh.
Yep.
Under what?
Under an 82. Or it'd be 80. Under an 82.
80, yeah.
Headshots, baby. Yes, Hank.
It's just lights
I
out.
Think isn't that double damage?
Yes, it is. Is double damage.
Yep. He's just annihilated.
Oh my god.
And a heavy pistol's 1d12?
Yeah, you're using a medium pistol. I don't think you guys have heavy pistols.
That's what I have.
Good heavy pistol.
I don't know about that, Joe.
Don't you guys have like did you guys argue for deagles at some point in time?
I have a heavy pistol on my sheet.
I also have heavy pistol.
I will trust you, okay, because I do remember that kind of being a thing.
Joe, you know we are not sophisticated and coordinated enough to pull off this kind of a heist.
You're right. You guys definitely don't have this in you.
Maybe you fucked up and gave us heavy pistols. We definitely have heavy pistols.
You're right. All right. I'm trying to... God... Yeah, like this critical hit is double damage. All right, roll your damage. Yeah, roll your roll your d12.
Fuck
you, son of a bitch.
That's a one on a d12.
That's a one,
ladies and gentlemen.
That is a one a critical hit.
God,
how does that feel, Brad?
Fuck you.
Well,
that's how it feels.
That's how it feels.
That's how it feels.
All right, you... Oh, God, that sucks. All right, Hank, as you guys are coming around, and right as the first cop, the driver, says, go ahead and open this up. Let's talk to your friend back here. Right as that happens, Benedict, you you're coming around the edge of the you're coming around the edge of the van right as blam blam two rounds go off from this large pistol that Hank has, and the rounds, unfortunately, it looks like, just like, even though they were, he got the drop on them, even though he had all this stuff going for him, he still fucked it up. He still
fucked it up. Maybe they have bulletproof vests. Maybe.
Yeah, he has a bulletproof vest, or maybe even like he has like a plate carrier or something. Like something that's probably actually a little much for the average cop.
Yeah.
Well, let's not go too far with the fiction, because there's actual mechanical things in DG
for plate carriers. Yeah. Like,
can DR for
can Benedict pick up on this and react quickly enough?
That's a good question. What is Benedict's, let's say, what is
charisma? 15.
What's your dex?
This seems right. Damn it, 12.
Your dex is 12? Okay. Roll me a luck roll. No, roll me an alertness. Let's see. I mean, you don't have to be that alert to detect a gunshot going off.
That's a failure. All right. 75 of a 50.
Let me roll this. No, the other cop is going to respond before you.
Shit.
So actually, what we're going to do, instead, let's go into straight up combat order.
Yeah.
Everyone give me your dex.
12.
14.
Banjo-Kazooie.
That's not a number. You're not going to make it
14.
Happen. Okay, so...
You're 14? Really? Wow.
And then Hank is 14 as well?
Yeah.
Okay. And then... Benedict is going to be 12. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. All right, Benji, you're going to go first as combat actually kicks off. What are you going to do? You're in the back of this van.
Yes. Do we have... Don't we have, like, some big guns that we got from the demon?
You have an AK-47, or an AK-74, mm-hmm. Pardon me. You have an AK-74. Of course there's a difference. You have an AK-74, you have a machine gun, which is not currently set up. You have a sniper rifle, an M24, which is like a standard, military sniper rifle, and you have some shotguns.
Here's what I want to do. I don't actually know what an AK-74 is. Is that
it's a
real
more
thing?
Modern AK-47 is all it is.
Okay. What I want to do is dig out the AK and this is probably going to take multiple rounds, but I'm just going to tell you what I want to do. I want to dig out the AK, kick open the back door and throw it to Hank.
Okay. I actually kind of like that. That's kind of rad. It's like blam blam blam, the cop is like ah, and then the door just boom, and then you just come AK. Out and just whoop and just throw the AK up and to the right. Out the door. All right. I really like this. I think this would be really interesting. Okay. Then if you want to do that, go ahead and roll me a... I'm not going to make you roll search roll. You know where all the weapons are. Roll another dex check. Let's see how well you do at fishing everything out very quickly.
Come on, Benji. My man, he's back. 35 nice. Under 70.
Okay. The way you have the back of the van set up, maybe there's just like literally like a blanket thrown over the weapons. Or maybe while this was happening, maybe Benji was a little prepared and if the weapons are in a case, he's like unclicked the lid. You're not moving very far. You can literally throw open the doors very quickly and throw the AK over the door, right? Like real quick. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say you can do that in this round. You're not going to get to attack or anything, but you can pick up a weapon and go to basically hand it out the door or toss it out the door because you succeeded on your dex roll.
Hank, take the AK, make a meat land.
Hank turns to receive.
Okay. So, you did use the word throw. Hank, go ahead and roll me another dex check to see if you catch.
Hank's got good dex, though.
Success, 17.
17. Yes. You will have to drop. You will have to drop your pistol.
Sure.
So I imagine Hank, blam blam, and then drops his pistol as he sees the back doors fly open, and over the back door, you can't even see Benji because where you're standing, but over the back door you see the AK go whoop into your hands.
Joe, I have a legit question.
I have a legitimate answer.
If you drop a gun,
okay.
Is there a chance it will fire randomly?
Nah, very, very low, honestly. Like, extremely low.
How low? Like a 10 out of 100 like low?
Like, probably, honestly, like a 1
probably
out of 100.
Probably a 1 out of 100.
Yeah.
Like a 1 out of 100? I'd take that. I'd okay. take those odds.
All right, Brad, I'll just let you know Jean did this. Joe didn't do this. Jean did this.
But the gun is obviously facing the enemy.
Okay, it doesn't go off.
Don't be ridiculous.
Okay, but yeah, you now, so the guy gets turned around, the guy gets shot in the back for 2 whole hit points, right? And he is now turns around right as the round lands in your hands, Hank, and there's just a moment where Hank reaches up and pulls the charging handle back and chambers around before Hank lets loose. Now, I will say the AK is, unless I am mistaken, you can fire a burst attack for lethality.
Nice.
You can try to mow both of these guys down because they're in your cone. They're right in front of you.
Okay.
They're in your cone, bro.
They're in your cone. What do you do?
I mean, it's still... So it goes right back to me?
Yes, because you basically had like a surprise round attack.
Okay, yeah, that's what I'm going to try to do.
All right, you're going to roll a 1d100. If you get underneath a 10, you're going to automatically slay anyone in the cone.
49.
Okay, so in that case, because the way lethality works, you did not meet the lethality, right? But
oh, that's nice.
Instead, we're going to combine those two numbers, 4 and 9, which is 13 damage. You guys are standing on the side of this highway as Hank dumps the entire 30 round banana magazine into these two quote unquote state troopers. It's like the Valentine's Day Saint. It's like the Saint Valentine's Day Massacre.
What?
He just riddles these guys. Neither one of them even has time to remove their weapons. It's just blah. Even as they're going down, Hank continues to drill them as they go down. Until the weapon. Just
the Benedict da, ba, 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 has ba, 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 at this point like untethered the stun gun from his gun and
as it stops.
From his side, and he like fumbles his blah, 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 and it falls to the ground.
He
just
gone.
Drops it. He's like, what
he's
the
gone.
Fuck was
he's
that?
Going non-lethal. Wow. Yeah. So these guys are now gone. They are 100% dead. Now, that being said, so let me get this transition back awesome. Out here.
Hank's like, that was fucking awesome, and gives Benji a pound.
Now,
Benji's like,
hell yeah, brother.
Hank,
why'd we kill them? Come on.
Hank and Benedict, roll me alertness checks.
Okay.
That is yet another failure.
Hank, crit, 77.
A 77 of at 77.
Yeah.
Hank's on fire.
All right. I rolled a luck roll at the beginning, and that was the luck roll to see if there were going to be any cars coming by.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the luck roll I rolled basically told me that there were no cars coming by at that moment. Though, I am now going to roll a d4 to determine how many combat rounds of actions you have until a car does come by.
Okay.
So let's roll a d4. One.
What we get?
Combat round.
Oh, oh no.
All right, spring into action.
Well, I mean,
let's fucking get these people in the car.
Seriously, like, I think Hank's going to go into, like, serious mode for real, or stay in serious mode, rather.
Yeah.
He's like, let's put him in the, let's put him in the back of the cop car, and I can follow the van in the cop car.
Oh,
so
to
Benedict,
our destination.
So it's Benedict's turn. So we're going to have this round and then one more round before a car comes by.
Okay. So he's going to try and hold him with pure strength. He's going to go for both of them.
Go ahead.
He's going to take both of them, and he's going to try and like hold them in one go.
Why don't you make me a strength roll, and we'll see. You make a strength or an athletics. Let's see how quick you're going to do this.
Can he get an advantage? Or like, I mean, surely
he's pumped.
Both of all of us will be helping move the
adrenaline. Not if he does two of them.
Benji sits, leans his ass on the back bumper, and just watches Benedict struggle.
Okay, Benedict, you 100% get one of them completely up and into the back of the car. And we'll go back up to Benji. Benji, are you going to try to grab the other one?
Yeah, except he's going to be like,
Hank, can you give me a hand?
Okay. Yeah, if the two of you are going to... Hank, you can whoop, throw your AK into the back of the truck real quick. If the two of you work together, you can get both of these guys into the back of the truck. And you can slam the back doors of the van as the first. Go ahead.
We're putting them in the back of the cop car. We're putting them in the back of the cop car.
Well, they're right at the back of the van, and the van is open.
No,
if you want to put them in the back of the cop car,
I think the van makes sense.
You're going to risk being exposed.
I think Benedict would have put them in the van. The space is right there.
All
right. Yeah.
Gotcha.
You slam the door, and right as you do, whew, a van with a family drives by.
Eating ice cream.
Benji gets out the AK.
So what are you guys gonna do? One of you is gonna jump in the
Hank's gonna suggest just follow the van and the cop car our destination.
Yeah.
Well, Hank, don't you wanna search the cop car, see if they got any evidence in there?
Oh, for sure, but I was kinda do it while we were driving to the destination and maybe wait for a more thorough search
Benji,
in Chicago.
Benji, you go back into the car. I got the van, guys. I'll get the van.
All right.
Deal with the car. Do we have any
I'll
towels?
Hop in the cop car and search it while you're driving,
Hank. Get that blood to not go on the rest of the van, the jambulance. Just.
Shit. We're going to have to have a whole detail. That's expensive.
Benji's just like leaning up against the van, got like a bloody handprint.
let me roll something real quick. Okay, that's a two. Neither vehicle is stained with blood.
Nice.
Okay, fantastic. So
the cool thing about the AK-74 is it shoots so fast that it cauterizes the
wound.
Everybody
knows that
in this fiction. Like a lightsaber.
Yeah. So you guys are, you originally were going to drive, I believe, like basically into, I think, the University of Chicago or maybe to the heart of Chicago. Are you still taking your two dead bodies there, or are you going to go to a different place?
I think we should go somewhere else.
Yeah, we'll probably find some place. Let's just say.
Hey, here's something we've never done before. What if we call our hand? Oh, shit. We don't have it. Fuck. It's been that long since we've played.
Let's just. Would it be fair to say?
Sorry. Can we roll something to know if we know of a green box?
Oh, Dace. Dace, my man. A green box, you say?
Have you been reading the rules?
Have you been reading the rules?
No, but I will say that I've been re-listening to Glass Cannon's playthrough of Delta Green, and so I am a little bit sharper.
Good.
Green boxes are a thing. They are absolutely a thing. So if you want, how do you think, what skill set do you think you would use to try to know the location of a green box in Illinois?
Well, let me check what's my highest stat. you meant. Nope, occult.
Oh, do they make Carcosian green boxes, Joe?
Do they make Carcosian green boxes?
Mm-hmm.
You want to request a green box from Carcosa?
Oh, is this like a request thing?
That sounds sexy as hell, but probably stupid.
But you guys, so if you literally want to do this, I need to know what.
I mean, that sounds like a fair thing to do. Like, we want to find a place to dump the bodies, and you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe just spitballing here, an intelligence or, I would say bureaucracy, but there's really nobody we can call. It would
what
have to
if
be
we
like
call Malthus,
a green box that Benji's been to before. Oh yeah, that
like,
could work.
That's kind you of what you say, Malthus, Malthus or Malthus,
demonic.
Yeah. Oh,
demonic green box.
Demonic green box from you... the people that gave us all the guns.
Give me an occult roll for Benji.
Oh, gladly.
No, fuck. God damn it.
No taxi backsies.
If I fail this.
Success.
Success. Nice. 50 under 90.
Jesus Christ.
I know.
It just doesn't make any sense.
Makes perfect sense.
You fail 10 more times and you'll never be able to fail that roll again.
Good to be back, boys.
All right. All right, so you, here's the thing, you think that there are a bunch of demons, there's a bunch of different demons, you think that there is probably one demon for sure with your high occult role. You think there's probably at least one demon that you think you can rely on to get you access to something like a green box. You don't know why this demon comes to mind necessarily. I can tell you the name of the demon.
Is that me and or Benji who can, knows this stuff?
That's Benji.
Okay. He's not
the name is Furcas. Furcas.
Mm. Furcas. Let's head to the Demon Web.
Let's head to Demon Web 101. And would you like to, as I imagine you guys are talking about this, like, we got to find a green box, and then Benji just kind of gets that wide-eyed look, and then just off the top of his dome quotes the Ars Goetia.
Urcas is a knight and cometh forth in the similitude of a cruel man with a long beard and a hoary head. He sitteth on a bell horse, carrying in his hand a sharp weapon. He teacheth perfect practice of philosophy, rhetoric, logic, astronomy, chiromancy, pyromancy, and their parts and principles. Legions number in 20 don't serve his way.
I love this. We're going to get along so well with Furcas.
We still need a green box, Benji.
We're
talking about green boxes, damn it. You think that you might know how to contact this individual. You think if you get a payphone, you think you might be able to contact this person.
I gotta ask, what is a hoary head?
I have no fucking idea.
H-O-A-R-Y.
Oh, yeah, majestic old oaks and hoary willows. Grayish.
Oh.
Okay, so it's like the Green Knight.
And that's an H-O-A-R-Y, not a W-H-O-A-R-Y.
that cracked me up. Hoary head.
So yeah, you guys are going to. So are you think there is a? There's probably a gas station up here, and you can probably there's probably still a working payphone.
Let's do it.
Out by the side.
We'll drive there together on convoy. I'll switch off the jammer in the jambulance so that we can like chat to each other if we need to, and then get to a gas station. But
you can probably take off the radios from the dead cops, and you can have one in the van, and they can have one
like
in the
that.
Police
yes.
car.
Dead people radio equipment.
Walkie talkie.
Yeah, they're in RimWorld, they'd be tainted, but it's okay.
Joe, we have to talk about RimWorld at some point. Your RimWorld problem.
My RimWorld problem. You guys make it to this little gas station out in the middle of nowhere. It's not a branded gas station. You know, it's one of those places that still has the old pumps where you have to flip up the little lever in order to make the gas pump run.
The cameras. Oh,
yeah. It looks like a cash only kind of business.
No cameras.
And there is a payphone toward the side, on the side of the building. Would Benji like to go up to this payphone?
Yeah, sure. Picks up the phone, dials 666.
Roll me an unnatural roll.
Okay.
Correction, roll me a sanity.
Oh.
I like that less.
Yeah.
All right, roll insanity. Success, 10 under 36.
Okay. You pick up the phone, you pick up the receiver, and the funny thing is when you get there, there's three quarters sitting there right by the payphone, locked and loaded. Just as you're fishing in your pockets for quarters, you see there's some quarters right there, as if they were set there specifically for you.
Is that what he rolled for sanity on, that quarters were in
the payphone? Hey, hold on. Don't tell me how to do my job.
No, continue.
You load the quarters into the machine, and you hear that it rings for a second. And you hear click, click. And you just hear that the phone has been picked up.
Hello? Fat.
Name of demon Fergus. Is...
Fergus? Is this you, Fergus? How long have you been Fergus?
Stay where you are.
What? Was that Axel?
We zoom out to the mouth of Axel Armstrong sitting in a car.
Oh, no.
A phone up to his ear.
I'm coming your way.
Oh, no.
And that, my friends,
oh my God,
is where we're going to call it for this
what
episode.
Fuck you, Jeff? Oh, God, is Axel a demon?
All right.
I don't know if that's the... I don't know.
We know as players, but the characters don't know that Axel is hunting us.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Right.
All right. Everyone.
No, it's not all right. Everyone. This is too much.
Thanks for joining us for this totally all right episode where everything's all right and nothing's going wrong.
Oh.
Thank you very much for joining us. Hey, tell a friend. Tell a friend about us. We really appreciate that. That helps us spread the word. Join us over on the Reddit and, you know, and we're on Twitter and all that stuff. It's or X, like in the, it's all linked in the description of this. If you really like what you hear, you want to get this a week early, you want to get access to some of the Patreon specific stuff like the Sandy Check, hit up the Patreon. It just $3 a month. It really helps us out. And we really, really appreciate your lovely support. But guys, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Joe, for that.
It was a good one.
Yes. And for those of you who are joining us live, stay tuned. We will be back as we take a little bit of a break. And for the rest of you, we will catch you next week. Guys, thank you so much, as always.
It was stellar.
Back at you, buddy.
And for everyone else, we will catch you next time. Remember, please, stay safe and stay sane. Bye.
Bye.